Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 13th of June, recording at 10:10 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, let's have a look at what happened here in terms of the highlights on what was an extraordinarily interesting day. Now, first off, Asian stock markets were absolutely hammered, and we had a lot of big declines, the biggest of which was the Nikkei 225 in Japan, down the most of the Japanese indices and down 6.35% or some 843 points, bringing it back to 12,445. Lesser declines by at least a 1.5 percentage points by the TOPICS index, and TSE 2, that's that second section index, was only slightly changed on the day. And the opening in China following has been closed all week, was certainly under pressure, and we saw declines of 2.7% over 60 points on the Shanghai Composite Index. And pretty well across the boards, we had sharp declines, mostly over 1%. And the Philippines, my goodness, well, actually that was a bigger decline than we saw in Japan, down 6.75%, so very heavy selling actually occurring in the Asian markets. Now, that weighed heavily on the European markets and the pre-market activity, and shortly after their opening times. And also the US markets were also down in pre-trading activity. In other words, the futures contracts were all lower. But Wall Street then started out with a modest gain and then gradually built on that and had one of the best days, I think, since January. The S&P was up nearly 1.5 points, took it back up to 1636 and change. The Dow up over 1.2 points, that's 1.2%, that's 180 points, up to 15,176, and good gains for the other U.S. indices. Canada, a gain of 1.38%, and Brazil up 2.5%. So sharp upward dynamics here. Now, what actually triggered the moves? Well, the U.S. saw some increases in retail sales. There was also a drop in jobless claims, a little bit of corporate activity that also seemed to stimulate demand, but it was a bravura performance overall, and I think it's inevitable that this will trigger some sharp rallies in Asia tomorrow, although I don't think they'll be offsetting the 6% rather plus declines from Japan to the Philippines that we actually saw. So nervous conditions, we can say for sure. A corrective phase, as I've been mentioning daily in these audios, as has Owen when he's been recording. But this is not a bear market, even though people have been saying, well, Japan's down over 20% from its high on the Nikkei. It's a big setback, but I think that we will look back on this in 6 months, 18 months' time to look back on it as a sharp reaction, which was then followed by a period of consolidation before Japan recovered further. China's underperformance, well, it needs a good bounce tomorrow here. It can be forgiven for being dragged down by the rest of the Asian markets, but it needs a good rally to improve that overall technical outlook. And the U.S. gains really offset most, not quite all, but most of the last 2 days. Previous decline. So it's been a pretty volatile week, and I'd say, as I've already said, I think we'll see Asia starting off with gains tomorrow. Now, the bond markets also saw rallies in bond prices, therefore the yields came off a little bit, and bond yields have been a problem here. I think they've unnerved stock markets to a certain extent, and they've certainly unnerved bond investors because we have seen some sharp rallies in the yields here over the last several weeks. And they're underwater for the year. I think they're underwater over the last year and a half for the most part. And the technical action is deteriorating. It's not conclusive, but I think markets have to move really a long way to be conclusive in terms of technical action. But to me, it really does look as if the overall 30-year plus bull market. And let's focus on those U.S. treasuries, because that's going to be the most important one here overall. It does look as if those bond yields are base building at a very low level, and that the bond bull trend is actually ending. And there are hopes that it'll be a rather stable process overall. That may be the case for the next few months as the quantitative easing actually continues. But, you know, when you get a three-decade-plus bull trend, those are not noted for their orderly endings. They tend to be fairly convulsive and dramatic. And I do think that actually lies ahead for us at some point. In terms of equities, I think the risks are much lower, but equally, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see stock markets ranging sideways for a good long time, possibly most of the rest of the year overall. And they're not cheap at today's valuations. They're not all that expensive either. But the big uncertainty, of course, is how does the Fed actually handle the reining in of quantitative easing? And while some hopeful spokesmen say, well, it'll be no problem, again, I don't think that's actually realistic. And it's likely to, well, markets tend to be volatile anyway, and I think investors are likely to vote for their feet when they feel uncertain, or at least certainly a number of them will do so. So I think we'll see some choppy activity, but again, I emphasize, not a bear market, but ranging activity. So how do we actually deal with that? Well, if you're in shares that you like, that's good, and I assume that you probably are, or for the most part. But the best way to deal with a choppy ranging market is to lighten, particularly anything that you're not too happy with in terms of the medium to longer term outlook. Lighten into rallies. I wouldn't sell on weakness. I never like doing that, and I would be using some of the cash raised on the rallies to buy on weakness. And veteran subscribers will know that that's advice that I've issued over decades. The art of this business is to buy low, sell high. And it's not always easy to do because it seems to defy defy logic in terms of the emotions that you see, because crowds are panicking when markets are weak. But the old adage, buy when there's blood in the streets. We've had a little bit of blood in the streets here right now, and I think we're going to get a bit of a rally, but overall stay within a ranging pattern. Now, looking at currencies, the dollar was a little bit easier in here today. Asian currencies, which had been quite weak, the Asian dollar index at any rate, steadied a little bit in here today. The yen, which is certainly an important one for Japan, it's currently at 95.44, and I think we need to see that yen closer to the 100 level against the US dollar to see a sharp rally in the Japanese stock market. I expect that to happen perhaps in the not too distant future, but it's doesn't look like it's going to happen overnight unless the BOJ becomes quite active here once again. Sterling generally firm against the dollar, up to 157.18, and the euro is also reasonably steady, 1.3372. Now, government bond prices. We've seen a little bit of. I think I've already covered those. We've seen some selling pressure in the in the futures prices, and that's pushed up yields a little bit. I beg your pardon. We've seen some buying in the futures prices, and that's pushed yields down a little bit. Yields have been moving up, had been moving up really quite sharply, and they've now paused here, and we're seeing a small correction. But the rise in bond yields, as I've said before, has unnerved investors somewhat. Now, looking at the commodity markets, we had weakness across the boards in the industrial metals, and that's been a persistent trend here really for a while now. So those industrial metal prices are really quite soft. What I thought was interesting was that we saw some upward dynamics, albeit after some sharp falls by two of the leading miners, BHP and Rio Tinto. I think with BHP also, one of them had a clear upside key day reversal. I think it was BHP. That strength was actually showing before Wall Street had really seen most of its gains, and the miners held those gains, of course, throughout the rally that occurred on Wall Street. One of the reasons for that, perhaps, is that I think all the short-term players are probably out of the markets here overall, and so there aren't really that many more people to actually sell. Whereas we've seen plenty of selling in some of the markets that have done very well over the last 4 years or more, not least the ASEAN stock markets, which have seen some sharp profit taking in recent weeks. Now, elsewhere in the commodity markets, we've seen a little bit of a firmer tone in crude oil today. That's got the Brent oil up to 104.88, and the WTI up to 96.68. The grains and beans mixed to a little bit easier here overall. So there's no real upward pressure on commodity prices showing right now, although rough rice is a little bit steadier than the soybeans, corn, and wheat. And as I just mentioned a moment ago, we've had that steady-ish action in the, albeit within ranges, for oil prices. And on that note, let's look forward to an exciting day tomorrow. As I said, it'll start with some sharp rallies in the Asian markets for sure. And all the best to all of you.